Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being with us this morning. And if you're visiting with us, welcome. Our current preacher, Don Smith, is traveling at this time, and in his absence, I've once again been asked to give a message from the Word of God. And if there are any questions about what is said or done here this morning, do not hesitate to ask, and we will be more than happy to go to God's Word for an answer. This morning, I want to once again expand upon the subject of the existence of God. And what I want to do is look at what is probably the hardest and most difficult question and objection that atheists often pose to the Lord's Church, to the very concept of God Himself. An objection that is often used to try to prove that God can't exist, or that at least the God of the Bible can't exist. This morning, I want us to take a look. Oh, and it is also and not only is it just an argument against God, but it is also a point of doubt in which every Christian comes to in their lives. This morning, I want us to take a look at the problem of evil and suffering. And this is really something that is very difficult to go through the entire thing in just one morning. It's something that really requires time. And with the conclusion of our recent Bible class on Peter and Acts, we'll be going through, starting next Sunday and the next 12 weeks, we'll be going through Wilson Adams' workbook, Where is God When I Hurt? And this will really help to provide a more in-depth study. And I encourage everyone to be here for this more thorough study. And before I get started into trying to give an answer, as best an answer as the time I'm allowed this morning, I simply want us to understand that we are never going to be able to understand every aspect of suffering and why God allows it. Romans 11, verse 33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and unfathomable His ways." And so we're not going to be able to understand every aspect down to the letter. We'll never be able to understand every question, but we can know enough in order to supply faith to that which we don't know. One might think back to the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk said at the very beginning of his book, he said, "Well, how long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted." And God simply replied to Habakkuk two main points. At first, he said, "Well, you wouldn't understand if I told you the reason why I'm allowing this." And the second part was that Habakkuk needed to have faith. "For the righteous man shall live by his faith," God would say in Habakkuk chapter 2. Virtually every Christian at some point will experience doubt when they are the victims of pain, suffering, and or evil. Even David, David the king, a man after God's own heart, once said, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" And later, going back to the reading this morning, Solomon would say, "Then I looked again at all the acts of oppression which were being done under the sun," Ecclesiastes 4, verse 1 through 3. "And behold, I saw the tears of the oppressed, and that they had no one to comfort them. And on the side of the oppressors was power, but they had no one to comfort them. So I congratulated the dead, who were already dead, more than the living, who are still living. But better off than both of them is the one who has never existed, who has never seen the evil activity that is done under the sun." It's interesting. It is better off to not even exist, is this belief that Solomon has at this point in his life. And this is not a new question from atheists either. A Greek philosopher by the name of Epicurus, who lived hundreds of years before Christ was born, once said, "If God wishes to prevent evil, but cannot, then he is not all-powerful. If he can prevent evil, but will not, then he is not good. If he has both power and the will to eliminate evil, then why is evil in the world?" And Epicurus would conclude that either God can't exist, he doesn't exist in his words, or God was evil and he wouldn't want to serve him anyway. But that came from a mind set against believing in God. And sadly, sometimes when Christians are put into situations of evil and suffering, they can be tempted to think the same way. And the workbook we're going to be doing in the class will really help to guide us through that. So as we begin to try to answer the question, well, why would a loving God allow things like evil, pain, and suffering in the world? Well, we first have to answer the question. We first have to really define, well, what exactly is evil? Both Christians and atheists will agree that things like mass shootings, murder, torture, and stealing are all some of the most evil and vile of things. But the problem is, if there is no God, at the end of the day, saying that these things are evil is only a matter of opinion, as far as atheism goes. And I apologize, the font's not working correctly right there. Statements like mass shootings are evil is equivalent to saying, "I don't like mass shootings. I don't like murder. I don't like torture. I don't like stealing." Because if there is no God, to say that these things are evil, to say that these things are objectively wrong, these can be no more than opinion. Because without God, there is no objective morality. Some of you may recall that point when I gave my sermon on the existence of God. But going back to this thinking, as we approach it from the Christian perspective, we can define these things as evil. And many other things as well. Because from the Christian perspective, from the biblical perspective, from God's perspective, all these things and things like them, and they are the products of the same thing as well, sin. The Bible clearly indicates sin and evil as one and the same thing. as the same thing. Now, some sins are more appalling than others, but all sin is evil. And I'm not going to go, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into heavy detail about the problem of sin. But I do want to address this one question. Oftentimes, when faced with this dilemma, atheists will often ask, well, why doesn't God remove evil? Why doesn't God remove sinners just before they commit the sin? We would live in a perfect world then, wouldn't we? And this thinking may seem reasonable to some, up until one fact is realized. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If God were to remove every sinner from the face of the earth, there would virtually be, pretty much everybody would be gone. In fact, if God had done that from the beginning, we would have never made it past Adam and Eve. At the end of the day, evil, pain, and suffering are all the same, are all come from the same thing. They are all the result of the same thing, and that is the free will of man. When God created man, he didn't want just robots who would follow him without a second word. He wanted people to freely choose him, to choose him of their own free will. But sadly, more often than not, the wrong choice is often made. Too often, people make the wrong choice. Jeremiah 5, verse 30 through 31, God says, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority. And my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it? There will always be those who make the wrong choice. But now that